ఓం నమో భగవతే శ్రీ మేధా దక్షిణామూర్తి పరబ్రహ్మణే సదాశివ సమారంభాం ఆదిశంకర మధ్యమాం అస్తార్క్ష్యో అరిష్టనేమిః స్వస్తి నో బృహస్పతిర్ దధాతు ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. Just go straight away to the 93rd verse. Gaudapada Acharya, in this 4th chapter, Alata Shanti Prakaranam, presented the vision of non-duality of the reality through the example of Alataha, the firebrand. And he presented the whole teaching in a nutshell, repeatedly, and the last 10 verses which we started last class, in the last 10 verses he presents the summary of the teaching. Actually he concludes his teaching in this 10 verses. In this, mainly what he wants to say is the teaching is the happiness, the fullness, the security, the peace of mind which every human mind is desperately, choicelessly seeking is already there as one's own swarupam, which need not be searched. But to know that we need not search for happiness, we need to study the Shastra. Shastra study helps you understand that we need not search for happiness. That is the thing. So here, and in this we saw this in this continuation of those verses. Let us see here.
Adishantahyanutpannaha ప్రకృత్యైవ సునిర్వృతాః సర్వే ధర్మాసమాభిన్నాః అజం సామ్యం విశారదం
సో ఆదిశాంతః సర్వే ధర్మాః. The word dharmaha, as I have told earlier, in the previous classes, the word dharmaha in this context does not mean, give the actual meaning. Dharmaha here means jivaha. So sarve dharmaha, all the individual beings, all the jivas here are adishantaha. Adishantaha means what? Beginninglessly, they are of the nature of peace. Every individual, one's own real nature, the actual content of the I, actual surupam of the I. What is I here? The ahankara, isn't it? The knowledge I am is there. Actual surupam of I, the first person singular pronoun I, actually is nothing but consciousness. And what is the nature of consciousness? What is consciousness? Consciousness, nothing can disturb the consciousness. There is no something called restlessness, agitation, sorrow, dukkham for consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is of the nature of peace. Therefore, every jivaha, essentially being consciousness, is of the nature of peace. And when does the peace begin for a jiva? Adishantaha. Swarupam means what? Whenever, please, this word swarup is highly expressive word. Even though in English language, we translate the swarupam as nature. You know, the nature, the word nature is used to mean so many things. But swarupam is something, you know, something you can't, it really is a very expressive, most expressive expression, in fact. Most expressive word is swarupam. Swarupam means what? Intrinsic. Intrinsic means what? That which cannot, does not change at all. That which does not change at all means that which does not come, does not go, does not decline, diminish, increase, grow, like that. Like heat in the fire. What is the heat in the fire is what? Heat is intrinsic means never does the heat become less or more or in fire. The fire, the heat is what? Always the same. Like that, Shantihi is also is absolute swarupam of one's own self. Adi Shantaha. Essentially, we are of the nature of peace. Okay, non-disturbability is called, is the very nature of the Jivaha. Then Anutpannaha. Therefore, Anutpannaha means what? Again, Anutpattihi. Utpattihi means coming into existence, creation, production. Anutpannaha is a participle. The Anutpannaha, again, they are unborn, beginningless, causeless, changeless, eternal. So, eternity again is what? Timelessness is the very surupam of the essential nature of the Jivas. And now, this is Prakrutyayeva. Prakrutyayeva means not artificially. That something which is obtained later on here. Prakrutyayeva means naturally. Sunirvrutaha. Sunirvrutaha means what now? Ever released. Ever free. Nirvrutaha means released. So, sunirvrutaha means what now? Sunirvrutaha, ever free. Ever free they are. Ever relieved of all the. Nitya muktaha. Shankara Bhagavad Pada gives the meaning. Nitya muktaha. Nitya mukta swabhavaha means ever free. They are of the nature ever free. Which means ever free means what now? They have no problems. Isn't it? So who is here? When we say ever free, then samaha abhinnaha. Samaha means they are of samaha. Even though we use the term jivaha, even the plurality is not there. Therefore, samaha, all the jivas are essentially one and the same. Samaha, abhinnaha. Therefore, what? The indivisible, one, partless whole. Samabhinnaha, uniform. Then ajam, again ajam is same thing, unborn but changeless. Samyam, ajam, samyam, the same again. Visharadam, they are of the nature of purity. They are of the nature of purity means what? Atma, the consciousness, never becomes impure. Okay, doesn't become impure. Therefore, it need not be refined, need not be made pure also. Because it's non-pollutably, non-refinably pure, I said. Isn't it? Therefore, here, even though we call something called samskaraha. The samskaraha means a ritual performed for the mental refinement of an individual. And in this Vedic culture, we have 41 samskaras. 41 samskaras. 41 means what? Before even when the baby is conceived, in the mother we have a refinement. That's one ritual performed. And all the elders gather and pray, and then they bless for the baby which is conceived, just garbhadhanam. Then we have, there's so many other things. We have Simanto Nayanam. In the seventh month, the baby seven months, in the mother's womb, then we have Simanto, another, there's so many prenatal, we have samskaras. The rituals, they performed as for the mental refinement of the individual, even before the baby is born, it's called prenatal samskaraha. Samskaraha, the very word samskaraha means refinement, prenatal. And then after the birth also, postnatal samskaras. Now the jata karma, now the namakaranam, the naming also, we don't take it as, like how you are, the naming also, jata karma. And then aksharabhyasa, the first solid food, first food, every small change in the baby's life, the change comes, we bring in Bhagavan, every incident, everywhere we bring in Bhagavan there. So it's not just a social event. Social, it's also of course social gathering, but a spiritual, it's more a religious ritual for us. Why it is done? And elders come, they bless and they pray. The pamper, make the child feel important. That's why marriage also is one of the 41 samskaras for us. Which means, what is a marriage? Samskaraha. The close word is a sacrament, okay? I don't want to use the word sacrament. It is not that expressive. Even Vivahaha, marriage is also one of the 41 the samskaras. One of the rituals performed for the refinement of the individual. Look at this. Marriage also is institution for what? Is a purpose. That is only way this, the person can grow well. In only when you enter into the grihastha ashrama, you learn lot of things. Patience comes. You know, you grow. Understanding comes. Adjust with other person. Live together. Isn't it? Putting up. There's a growth. Again, this is from samskara. Like that, we have 41 samskaras. These samskaras performed for the refinement of the person. Now, who is the person here? Who is for whose sake it is done? Is it done for Atma? Ever pure Atma, non-refinable Atma, for whose sake we are doing all these things? It's all for the individual Ahankara. Isn't it? The I. What is I here? The knowledge. The knowledge of the existence of one's own self, which is there as I am. That knowledge I am identified with the body, mind and complex is the individual. I sense identified with the body, mind and complex is the individual. And that individual, for that sake, now for refinement is for the mind. Refinement is always for the mind. Because physical growth is not taken care of by the nature. All that we need to do is whether, you know, 3 times, 4 times a day we have to fill. That's all. And physical growth is taken care of. There's no special effort required there. But for mental growth, initiative is important, isn't it? It is all emotional maturity, mental refinement, mana panbadudal, mana pakkuvam, we say. For that only you need all these samskaras, the personality development, isn't it? Need otherwise. And these are all performed, 41 rituals. But now finally, by making the mind refined and refined and refined, when this person becomes emotionally mature person, but absolute maturity comes when, by following all these rituals, this person will be a righteous, ethical, religious person, and who will be committed to live a life of dharma, who can recognize his end being moksha. He can discover his end being moksha, and he can have purushartha nischaya. He can become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Then he can accept shastram as the pramanam, and with the shraddha in the shastram and the teacher, when he lives life enjoined by the shastram, definitely he becomes mature and he'll be blessed with the knowledge. In knowing, after attainment of the knowledge, he discovers his swarupam being, consciousness, and then his real nature is consciousness, which is of the nature of fullness. And then from the standpoint of consciousness, taking understanding what one's own self is really, from that consciousness, as a sakshi, he looks at everything as, when was I born? When am I going to be born? For whose sake these rituals are performed? Understand? That much understanding comes. All this is done, then the person cognitively shifts his real swarup understanding of now the I to the consciousness. Then from that standpoint of consciousness, he should think what? No, actually there is no bondage. When was I born? When did I die? Where is bondage? Where is moksha? All from standpoint of what? Only from the standpoint of ego, ahankara. What's ahankara here? The I sense identified with the body, mind sense complex. But then as an individual, you are a human being, identity is there. When the identity is shifted from here to the param, absolutely I am consciousness. But relatively, incidentally, you know, enjoying the human life. That comes, therefore, su nirvrutaha. Therefore, what now? There is no purity. What is the nature of the consciousness, Atma here, Turiyam? We have to use the Mandukya language when studying Mandukya Upanishad. Turiyam here is Visharadam, ever pure. That's why last class I said, non-refinably, isn't it? pure, unpollutably pure, I said. Of the nature of purity. Okay, let us go to the next one now, the new class today.
Vaisharadhyam tu vainasti. Vaisharadhyam tu vainasti. Bhede vicharatam sada. Bhede vicharatam sada. Bhedanim na prithagvadaha. Bhedanim na prithagvadaha. Tasmat te krupanasmrutaha.
Tasmat
te krupanasmrutaha. Vaisharadhyam tu vainasti.
Vaisharadhyam tu vainasti.
Bhede vicharatam sada.
Bhede
vicharatam sada. Bhedanim na prithagvadaha.
Bhedanim
na prithagvadaha. Tasmat te krupanasmrutaha.
Tasmat te
krupanasmrutaha. Okay. So this 94th karika talks about the people who deprive themselves of the vision of the Shastram. If a person deprives himself of this vision of the Shastram, then what happens? At least sometime or the other, being exposed to the Shastram, one should be understanding, one should be making all the time effort to understand this fact. Then there will be a time he can become contemplative, he can have the ascertained vision of this fact. So Shastra's vision is a fact. It is not something to be believed. Isn't it? The fact is different from belief. It is not even a contention like of any other school of philosophy, other system of thought, no? Other systems of philosophy we saw. They're all views, the contentions, of people. In the form of contentions. And they have their own standpoint, and from which standpoint they have a certain view of the life, view of the universe, view of creation, view of the truth. And those views are all contentions. That's why so many people see from different standpoints, different angles. The standpoints are different, therefore the views are also different. Contentions are different, many. Isn't it? Contentions. Whereas the belief also, it is not, some people are given to certain beliefs. And the beliefs also, what you believe, I need not believe, what I believe, you need not accept also. We have all the freedom not to accept or accept the beliefs. But here, this Veda, vision of the Shastram, is it a belief? Is it a fact? Or is it a contention? It is not a belief. It is not something believed by some people. It is not something, it is not even a contention, a view of any given mind, given intellect. But it is the fact. The fact means, fact is something always the same, which cannot be, fact is something which cannot be displaced by any time or any other experience or any other object. The fact is something which is always there. Either it is understood or it is ununderstood. And once understand, the fact is not different from different people. Fact is one and the same for all the people. Like if you say water is H2O, it is the same even if it is the hard water or light water or good water, not bad water. Water is H2O is a fact which is acceptable for people of any times. Even people in Eskimo, where only ice is there, even there, anywhere water is H2O, which is a fact. The same 1 plus 1 is equal to 2 is a fact. It can't be different. Like this, all that is here is absolutely the reality, Brahma. There is no second thing or second reality or second thing other than Brahma. Ekam Advayam Advitiyam Brahma. Idam Sarvam Brahma. And what am I then? I am that Brahma. all that is here is Brahma. Therefore, you can say, I am the whole, or you can say, what is there is only Brahma. This is a fact. And it is the fact revealed by the Shastram. This is the fact we have vision of the Shastram, which is a fact which needs to become our vision. And in discovering this vision, the mind also becomes what? Mind that is only in having this vision of this fact, mind also will rest. Until then, the mind's thirst, will be unquenchable thirst. The mind will be restless, agitated, disturbed, troubled. The mind can never be peaceful. This is the vision. In mind can discover absolute peace. Not as something which coming, mind can discover its own swarupam, being peace, and there can abide and can resolve. Okay, therefore, it is a fact. But if people are not exposed to the Shastram, somehow they do not stumble upon the Shastram, even after stumbling upon also, if they don't understand accept the Shastra teaching, or if they depart off this vision, then if they continue to be, they can't help accepting the duality as reality. One thing you have to remember, this duality, perception of duality is there for an ajnani as well as a jnani. Duality can never be removed. Isn't it? How can you remove the duality? I am this world. Duality. I am the experiencer. There is a world which is different from me, the experienced world. I am the experiencer. This knower non-duality, cause-effect duality. Isn't it? This duality, I am aham this, I am this duality, definitely will be there. This duality, how real it is. For a jnani, it is absolutely real. For a jnani, it is empirically real. It is not unreal. Okay? It is not absolutely unreal. It is not something non-existent. It is relatively, empirically, objectively real. Which world? When do you have this duality? Do you have this duality in deep sleep state? No. In deep sleep state, there is no this duality is there in deep sleep state. It is unmanifest duality. Isn't it? In deep sleep state, duality is there or not? In deep sleep state, duality is there, but it is in a potential form. It is unmanifest duality. The unmanifest duality is the non-dual experience. Okay? The non-dual experience is nothing but unmanifest duality. In manifest duality, there is no non-dual experience. There is experience of the duality. When? In the waking state. Therefore, this duality is objective reality. In the waking state, this duality is there, is really there. It is objective reality. Why? Because it is not only for me, it is there. For all of us, every individual who is awake, there is duality. Therefore, it's objective reality. Objectively real. Empirically real. Relatively real. Why? This duality is not absolutely real. What about the deep? That's why we call it what? Vyavaharikam Satyam. What about the dream? In dream also this duality, but that duality is there only for me, the one who dreams, not for others. It is also not unreal. Dream also is not unreal. It is real. But how real it is? Subjectively real. Real only for the one who dreams. Therefore, it is selectively real. Subjective reality, objective reality, both realities are what now? Relative reality. Understand now? Dream is called Pratibhasikam Satyam. Pratibhasikam Satyam, it is real for only subjective reality. Vyavaharikam Satyam, objective reality. Isn't it? Empirical reality. Whereas, Paramarthikam Satyam. In dream is also what? There is duality in a potential form, which is non-dual experience is real for all those who fall asleep. isn't it? The experience is real. It's also relative. But what is absolutely real is non-duality of the reality. The consciousness without which there cannot be the subject, the experiencer, the consciousness without which the object, the experienced, cannot be there at all. Just as the water, the H2O, minus which there cannot be a wave, the individual one, there cannot be a ocean, the total one, cannot be there at all. That truth, water, from the standpoint of the water, there is no wave, there is no ocean. The duality you are resolving where? In the truth of both. The truth of both being one and the same. You say the reality is not two. Understand? What is reality? Water is the only reality. Only means what? It is non-dual. Why it is non-dual? Why it is non-dual? Because the ocean and the waves are all just the non-substantial names and forms. You resolve the names and forms in there. We are experiencing the waves and the ocean. There is a water. The two things we are experiencing, they are not one, but they are not two. Therefore, we say what now? There are two orders of the only reality. Therefore, non-dual. Water is the non-dual reality. Is it clear? And is there anything other than the water with reference to ocean? No. Therefore, advitiyam. Understand? Ekam, advayam, advitiyam. We understand one, non-dual, secondless. The same exact thing, now we have to apply here. The consciousness is the truth of the I, the experiencer. There is no subject of experience other than consciousness. Like Puja Swamiji says in his verse, if you squeeze the I, what will come out of I? You know his expressions, okay? Nobody can speak like him. Okay, if you squeeze the I, what will come out? We can't squeeze it, okay? Yes, I'm telling. What will come out is consciousness. If you squeeze the whole jagat, what will be there is only consciousness. So essentially, I and this are one. So where are you now and where am I here? Okay, I and this, everything is one. Now from the standpoint of consciousness, the absolute reality, which is independent reality, which is not dependent on the I or this. Whereas I and this both are dependent on what? Dependent on this consciousness. Therefore, the consciousness is implied by these terms, Brahma, Atma, Turiyam, Sakshi. This consciousness is the absolute reality, absolutely real. Paramarthikam Satyam. So, Paramarthikam Satyam is the substratum for both Vyavaharikam Satyam and Pratibhasikam Satyam. Therefore, what is Pratibhasikam Satyam? Mithya. What is Vyavaharikam Satyam? Mithya. Mithya means what? As good as non-existent. So, the appearance of the Paramarthikam Satyam consciousness. Is it clear? This is the vision. But this vision, if people are deprived of, what he says is, then what happens? This duality, which is empirically real for a wise person, is absolutely real for an ignorant person. Is it clear? Very real. So he says, bhede vicharatam. Sada bhede vicharatam. The people who are always, always with this perception of duality, with this understanding of perception of duality as the reality. Bhede vicharatam means what? In the bedathileye eppozhudhum ulandru kondirikkiravargal. Tamil varudhu doctor maniki. Those always with this, duality. Vede vicharatami. Vicharan means wandering. Those who are wandering in this duality means what? Those who live in this world accepting this duality, which is very much there as empirical reality, mistaking it for absolute reality. Understand? For such people, Vaisharadhyam tu vainasti. Vaisharadhyam means purity. Vaisharadhyam is the noun of Visharadam. Okay? Vaisharadhyam, the absolute purity is not possible at all. Okay? Absolute purity is not possible at all. Purity of what? See, Atma never gets impure. You know that very well. For such people, the absolute purity of the mind is not possible. Vaisharadhyam vainasti. Absolute purity of the mind is not there. Means what? The peace is not possible at all. Why? What is absolute purity? The calm. Because always they live in the world of duality, mistaking the duality for reality when they live. For them, the ajnanam will be definitely there. Ajnanam is there. Once ajnanam is there, adhyasaha, error in their perception of the self, error in the perception of the world can never be resolved. How can you resolve the error in the perception? See, that is why people, Mahatmas are always kind to us, nice to us. Why? Because whoever does anything wrongly, that wrong behavior is not because they want to do it. Because the error alone is perception, wrong misunderstanding. That's why they're very kind and they're accommodative. Like when a child does something wrong, do we alert the child? No. A child, he has to learn. We backstroke and accept, no? Like in the same way, here Shastram also does what? Shruti Mata also is very kind to us. This you know, idiot, my people, doesn't know that let me be kind to this now, that they accept us. Like that, Vaisharadhyam to Vainasti means what? The no way of being pure. Ignorance will be there. Error in the perception cannot be corrected at all. As long as ignorance of the truth as one's own self. See, the truth can never be attained, arrived, understood as an object. Because it is not an object. And the Shastram tells us the clue. Come on, don't ever search for the truth. It will be an endless search. Because truth is never available. The truth of the whole is available for recognition as the very truth of one's own self, as the very truth of the subject in one's own mind, as one's own self. Shastram does not say truth is in you, within you. See within. No. Shastram says you are the truth. Directly says you are the truth. That is why you would ask what now? Vichara, a self-enquiry. Please start enquiring now as what? What actually this I is. I am. Then you stumble upon or should stumble upon Shastra enquiry, not independent enquiry. With the help of the Shastram, when you enquire, definitely you'll stumble upon, you can't help arriving at your Swarupam being consciousness. But here, this Jnanam is not possible for whom the duality is very real. As long as duality, Ajnanam is there, duality will be real also. Once Ajnanam is there, then Adhyasa, the error in the perception also is something inevitable. Once error is there, adhyaropa, superimposition of the problems of the body, mind and complex upon the Atma is inevitable. Then erroneous notions about the self also will be inevitable. There will be erroneous notions and there will be the common human, this fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity, the sense of insignificance centered on I will be there. As long as is small, the person has this problem of sense of smallness centered on I am small, I am inadequate, that is there. You can't help having kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsriya. The envy, the jealousy, the hatred, the anger, the desire, the passion, all these things are very natural symptoms of the disease of fundamental problem. Understand? How can he having the disease, how can he avoid the symptoms? They will be there. Okay? They'll be there. And however you try to be posh and then nice and then try to be polished also, this be like what? No, with not having shower for one year, having some scent on. perfumes and come nose smelling nicely, but still there is also stink, okay, because we haven't like that. This is what really, there's no way of removing the stink. Even though you add some perfumes also, the stink will be there because the dirt is there. Like that here, this, no, the having this fundamental problem of sense of smallness centered on I, unless and until it is resolved, there's no way of getting rid of this anger, passion, hatred, etc. They'll be there. So having them in the mind, I subconscious, they'll be sitting all the time ready to surface. Whenever there's opportunity for them to get triggered, they'll be waiting readily. Therefore, there's no human mind which is completely, absolutely free from all these impurities. Why do we call them impurities? Because they make the mind heavy and loaded and burdened. And then that is when you are restless and agitated, you are not happy. Listen, that is sickness, mental sickness. So they are underneath and they will be triggered, and any small situation, whichever triggers the smallness, and then they will surface. They'll be there. Therefore, for these people who accept the duality as the reality, for them Vaisharadhyam Nasti Vai. The purity is not possible, which means Shantamu Leka Saukhyamu Ledu. There is no Shantam, there is no peace for them, therefore there is no really, no, that there is no happiness also for them. Is it clear? Vaisharadhyam Nasti. Therefore, Beda Nimnaha. Beda Nimnaha means what now? Those who are drowned, those who have drowned themselves in this perception of duality as the reality, for such people, Prithagvadaha. Prithagvadaha means what? I am different, you are different, he is different, she is different, they are different, the world is different, Bhagwan is different, their perception of the self is wrong, perception of the world is wrong, perception of every individual is wrong, perception of even Bhagwan, okay? Bhagwan, all Bheda Nimagnaha. Nimagnaha means Nimagnaha. Those who have drowned themselves in this duality, which means completely they are given to this notion, okay? Completely overpowered by this understanding that duality is reality. Prithagvadaha. Those who argue that it is all duality is the reality. Duality is the, not only they won't keep quiet, they will also argue that duality is the reality. Such people, therefore what happens? Tasmat te kripanaha smritaha. They are said to be what now? Kripanaha. Kripanaha means actually, the Shastram, Kripanaha literally means a miser, a stingy person. In the context of Dharma, the one who does not use his knowledge of right and wrong, thereby one who does not, you know, use his will to live a life of Dharma, is said to be a Kripanaha. One who does not live a life of Karma Yoga is said to be a Kripanaha. Okay? A human being, either one can choose to be a Karma Yogi or one can choose to be a Kripanaha. Who is a Karma Yogi? One who all the time consciously uses his knowledge of right and wrong. One who makes use of the Buddhi. Bhagavan has blessed everyone. All the human beings, there's no human beings, you know, who can say, I am a dud. No, Bhagavan has not given me that. No. Only, no, Bhagavan has blessed only other people, Buddhi, you know. Bhagavan might not have given you money or all those things. You may, the difference may be there in so many ways. But it's a common sense. What is called common sense? The knowledge of right and wrong is a common for all the human beings. No human being can say, I didn't get it. You can't say that. Everybody is all naturally blessed with this knowledge of right and wrong. How? I don't want to go back to the Shastra class. What I expect from others in terms of behavior, that is what is. I don't want to go back to the class, okay? So you all know knowledge of right and wrong, we are all blessed with. That's called what? The Buddhi, common sense. And then we are also blessed with the capacity to choose to do an action which is called willpower, using which and using the knowledge one can choose to do the right, you can refrain from the wrong. Isn't it? One who makes use of this buddhi, this knowledge is called buddhiman, and he is a karma yogi, he can be a karma yogi. But one who does not use his knowledge of right and wrong, one who abuses his will, knowing what is wrong, he will do it. Knowing right, he does not do it, means he is called kripanaha. One who abuses his knowledge or one who does not use his knowledge at all. He is a kripanaha in the context of karma yoga. But here kripanaha means finally, what is that Bhagavan has given this human mind such a wonderful mind? It has the capacity to penetrate. Only thing is, attention has to be focused. Any field one can accomplish, anything one wants to achieve. There is nothing impossible for the human mind. Why? Because only thing, in terms of knowledge I am talking about, okay? In terms of knowledge, the human mind can attain any amount of knowledge if it is focused. Within a given span of life, one can achieve knowledge. But therefore, such a capable instrument is human mind. And using this, if a person can discover this absolute, the reality, discover the absolute fact, why it's absolute? It is only, and this is the discovery of this fact, discovery of the reality, this alone will relieve a human being from the all human misery for good. That is why this is absolute, exalted wisdom, isn't it? And if a person does not get it, he can't get it, and there are people who can't make the best use of this buddhi given to them, mind given to them, they are kripanaha, stingy people. You are not spending, isn't it? Like that, they are kripanaha. Because this human mind, in case, I'm not asking you to become, in case we don't get next genma human birth. Because somewhere, some little papam, we may get again a human janma, following janma. Immediate next janma, not human birth. Immediate, just, it won't get it, I'm just saying. Again, this mind is, again will be, we can't have even the self-consciousness. You will not be, for the whole life, you can't have, there's no way of accomplishing jnanam and moksha. Isn't it? That is why being endowed with the human body, being blessed with the human mind, itself is punyam, because of punyam. Nara janma durlabham. Isn't it? Manusha janma is human birth is such a precious birth. We really don't know anything because we don't know the value of what we have got. We really, really don't understand the preciousness of this life, human life. Especially span of life. Every day we spend such a precious time. Anyway, so here, kripanaha. Understand? Next.
Ajesam hetu ye kechit
bhavishyanti sunischitah
tehi loke mahajnanah Tachcha loko na gahate, Ajesam hetu ye kechit, Bhavishyanti sunischitah, Tehi loke, Mahajnanah. Tachcha loko na gahate.
Ye kechit aje samyetu sunischitaha bhavishyanti. Ye kechit means some other people. There are some other people. Ye kechit, those few people. Ye kechit. Kechit means few. Ye kechit, some other a few people, few other people, those people who, the few people. Ye kechit, aje samye, sunischitaha bhavishyanti. Ajam samyam here means what? The unborn, birthless, beginningless, endless, timeless, changeless, all-pervasive, eternal reality, the consciousness, Brahman, the Turiyam, and which is one and the same uniform, that reality in that reality, sunischitaha. Sunischitaha means what now? Who are very clear about the non-duality of the reality. Which means whose knowledge of the reality, the non-duality of the reality is firm, ascertained, assimilated, doubtless. Sunischitaha. Who are firm, definite. Sunischitaha means who are of the firm, doubtless, ascertained knowledge, the vision of non-duality of the reality. They are called sunischitaha. Ye kechit sunischitaha. About what? Those who are of the doubt-free, clear, firm knowledge of the non-duality of the reality, Brahman, such people, there are people, tehi loke mahajnanaha. Okay, there are people. They are great people of great vision, and lok tatcha lokaha na gahate. Lokaha means what? Lokaha means the other people, the ordinary people who live in this world are implied by the word lokaha. So other people, now when you see the wise person, how do you know the wise person also has a body, mind, sense complex, and he also eats and drinks, he doesn't look different. Therefore, seeing the wise person, the other person cannot, gna gahate means they cannot fathom, they cannot understand the depth of the vision of wise people. Lokaha tat cha na gahate. The world cannot appreciate the vision of the Mahatma. Mahatma's vision of non-duality of the reality. Somebody comes and tells, of course you go to the beach. I always like going to the beach in my classes. No? Every time I take you to the beach. No? Every class I take you to the beach. Going to the beach, standing on the seashore, and you go with the child, some children who are playing around. You have to go with children, not with elders. Okay, and therefore you are a jnani. You are the jnani, mahajnani. What mahat jnanam you have? There is no ocean really. There seems to be an ocean. There seem to be many waves. There seems to be plurality of the waves. There's a duality as a wave ocean difference is. All this is there, seemingly there. I'm not saying it's not there at all, but I'm experiencing it. It's there, but seemingly, absolutely, there's no wave, there's no ocean, there's only water. This, then you are Samudra Jnani. You are Jala Jnani. Isn't it? The children will think, what, playing around. They'll start counting the waves and they find, oh my God, I'm not able to count. As I count, they miss also. So they start counting. For them, the plural waves are plural and ocean is big, wave is small. There's so many. For them, silly excitement, isn't it? Great excitement for them. What is excitement for a child? For you, understand? For a child's mind, it's excitement. And then when you simply stand there, you don't get excited. The child is so excited, jumping around. And the child seems, what is this man? You standing like one, useless. Not enjoying here. Which means what? The poor child cannot understand your vision, depth of your vision. Similarly here, it's only example. When Mahavara Mahatma, it is true. He does see the plurality and innumerability, countlessness of the forms and names and beings and then matter and the material elements and the elementals, the living, non-living, mobile, the whole jagat this is. And he does know, I am the experiencer here. There is a world of experience in front of me, which is, there is a duality, there is plurality, there is jagat, there is everything really seemingly there. If you fall asleep, where is this jagat prapancha? Until you wake up, jagat prapancha is not there for you. Isn't it? The mind becomes non-functional, jagat is not there. Where is the wife? Where is the husband? Where are the children in sleep? Where are the friends and where are the houses? Where is the bed you are sleeping even? Nothing is there for you if you just close your eyes, isn't it? Close your eyes means what? You fall asleep. Jagat is not there. Now this jagat is only that much. Therefore, it's only there only when the mind is functional, the mind obtains in this physical body. It leaves the physical body, jagat will disappear. It is not there with you all the time. That's why they saw all this is only what? Appearance of the consciousness in the motionless consciousness, the turiyam in seeming motion. He knows. And it is the consciousness is the only reality. Is it? He understands that vision, that depth of the vision of a Mahatma, wisdom, Mahatma's wisdom, ordinary people cannot really appreciate. Okay? Cannot understand the depth of the vision. It's called Lokaha Tat Na Gahate. Why Mahajnanaha? Mahajnanaha, the men of great vision, great wisdom. Why? Because they know, they have the vision of the absolute reality. What is absolutely real? Now, what is indestructibly, imperishably, timelessly, all-pervasively, what absolutely real is the most abstract, non-objectifiable, imperceptible consciousness which has to be recognized as one's own sarupam, that they have recognized. They know all that is here is only that reality, absolutely. Those who have that vision, and they are the Mahajnanaha. Their wisdom, their vision, what they see, others cannot see. Isn't it? Therefore, they can't appreciate, they can't fathom, they cannot appreciate the depth of the vision of the Mahatmas. Ajeshva jama sankrantam
dharmeshu jnanam ishyate, dharmeshu jnanam ishyate, yato na kramate jnanam asangam tena kirtitam. Ajeshva jama sankrantam dharmeshu jnanam ishyate yato na kramate jnanam asangam tena kirtitam.
Ajeshu ajam asankrantam dharmeshu jnanam ishyate. Ajeshu dharmeshu means all the jivas. In all the jivas, which jivas? Jivas which are not really born, which are known by the term jivas, which are indicated by the term jivas, like a space enclosed by the pot, is known as part space, known by the term part space. But part space is really not born, isn't it? Why? There is no part space at all. The space enclosed by a given part gets the name part space. There is no such a thing called really part space. When the part space itself is not there, we cannot talk about the birth of the part space. Similarly, there is no jivaha at all. Jivaha is a name given to the one and the only consciousness, the unborn, birthless, causeless, changeless, timeless, everlasting consciousness, all-pervasive, only secondless, non-dual reality, the consciousness, is given the name jivaha when associated with the given body mindfulness complex. Is it clear now? The space associated with the part is called part space. Consciousness associated, identified with the body mindfulness complex, I thought, and the thoughts with the mind, the body mindfulness complex is given the name jivaha. Really speaking, there is no jivaha. Therefore, jivaha is not born also. So, ajeshu dharmeshu, in all these unborn, okay, the so jivas, okay, the consciousness associated with many bodies, known appears to be many, and those jivas, ajeshu dharmeshu, so jivas are also what now? Ajaha, birthless. So jivaha is not born. Understand? Ajeshu jiveshu. Look at the adjective. Ajeshu jiveshu. We think jivas are born. No, ajeshu jiveshu. The jivas, the truth of every individual, which are not born really. Okay? All the jivas, which are absolutely unborn, the birthless, all of them. Ajam asankrantam jnanam ishyate. What is the, in all the jivas, what is the truth? Jnanam ishyate. Means, every jiva is essentially what? Jnanam. One pure consciousness. Jnanam ishyate means the seeming in so many jivas, every jiva is essentially consciousness only. Jnanam ishyate. And which jnanam? Ajam. The changeless, birthless, beginningless, endless, timeless consciousness. Jnanam. Asankrantam. Asankrantam is what? This consciousness which is of the nature of motionlessness. Does consciousness move? No. So jivaha is ajaha. Why? Because jivaha is consciousness which is unborn. And this unborn consciousness, does it move? So we can't talk about the movement of the jiva. Understand? Consciousness is of the nature of motionlessness, changelessness. Why it can't move? Why it is of the nature of changelessness? Because it is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Why it is of the nature of all pervasiveness? It is of the nature of oneness. This alone is. Therefore, due to its oneness, due to its all pervasiveness, it is of the nature of changeless and motionlessness, asankrantam, which means, if motionlessness means consciousness, this turiyam chaitanyam is of the nature of actionlessness also. Is it clear now? Motionlessness implies what? Actionlessness. Therefore, can we say consciousness knows? Like what? In fact, we should not say sun illumines the world. Can you say that? Sun illumines the world, we should not say. Why? Because we can say the world is illumined by the sun, we can say. Passive voice you can use. The world is illumined by the sun, you can say. The illuminator of the world is sun, you can say. But sun is the illuminator, you cannot say. Why? Because there is no illuminator other than the sun. Therefore, you can say illuminator is the sun. But from the standpoint of the world, you can say the illuminator of the world is the sun. The standpoint of the sun, you cannot say sun is the illuminator. Why? Illumining is not an action. Sun does not decide, plan to illumine. Does not do this. There is no will, there is no desire, there is no wish, there is no pressure for the sun to go and illumine everything. Understand? Which means the sun is of the nature of illumining. Yes, sun is. Mere presence illumines. That is why bless sun, anything by its mere presence contributes, means what? We call it a blessing. What is the blessing? Mere presence is for contribution. You call it a blessing. So sun, so mere presence of the sun is a blessing, that is in its presence the entire world of opaque objects shine. Is it clear? Therefore, similarly here, can we say Atma is the illuminator of the world? I am the knower. Look at this. When you refer to yourself, of course, from the standpoint, no, when you see yourself as an individual identified with the body, mind, sense complex, you can say, I am the knower. Relatively, I am the knower. And there is a world in front of me which is the known, the object of experience. There is duality. Relatively, it is real. Empirically, it is real. But absolutely, if you really analyze who I am, when I discover this fact, most abstract, subtlest fact, there is no I, there is no knower, really, other than consciousness, then I shift my eye sense from the body, mind, sense complex, all the thoughts carefully from the thought, I shift my eye sense and resolve it in consciousness. From the standpoint of consciousness, I see. Okay, consciousness doesn't say even now speak. From the standpoint of consciousness, we see what now? Actually, I, the consciousness, am. Understand? No, cannot even say I am the knower. Consciousness is not the knower, illuminator. Then what is the knower then? Knower, experiencer, illuminator, observer, thinker, feeler, doer, etc., enjoyer are all temporary status, qualifications attributed to I, the consciousness. Relative qualifications attributed relatively, temporarily to the consciousness when identified with the body, mind, sense complex. Is it clear? Absolutely. Consciousness is not even the subject. You have to see from the standpoint of ahankara, the knowledge I am, identify sense, identified with the body, mind, sense complex, I am the knower relatively. When I see my swarupam, the standpoint of the swarupam, the consciousness, even the consciousness is not even the subject. Not the object, very clear. Okay? Not even the subject. There cannot be a subject or object minus consciousness, but consciousness is neither the subject nor the object. This is what in Keno Upanishad it is said, viditat aviditat adhi. Understand? Consciousness is neither the subject nor the object. Neither the subject nor the object. It is a truth of both subject and object, but it is available for recognition as the truth of the subject. Is it clear? Therefore, we say what? That Chaitanyam. Therefore, Ajeshu Dharmeshu Ajam Asankrantam Ishyate. Which means, okay, this is first step. What second is next tip? We understand consciousness is not the subject, not the object. Any subject also is what? A knower, experiencer, etc. are temporary qualifications attributed to the consciousness. The standpoint of consciousness, not even the subject. Okay, fine. Why do you say that? Is there an object other than consciousness? Is there an object at all? There is no object at all. There is no object of experience. Okay, asankran, na kramate. Why? Because, suppose if I say, light, look at this, light, between the light and the opaque thing, there is no distance. There is no distance between light and the opaque. But similarly, between consciousness, understand, and the mind, the consciousness and any object of knowledge, there is no distance. Understand? What I want to say here is, water can never touch the wave. Can water touch the wave? Can wave touch the water? Why? They are not two independent parallel realities. Similarly, consciousness and matter are not two independent parallel realities. You can take Maya, Ajnanam, total ignorance. Are they two independent realities? No. The two orders are the same reality. Consciousness is the only reality and Maya is consciousness. There is no Maya other than consciousness. So, Mithya. That is why matter is mithya, consciousness is satyam. So jagat is also what? Mithya. There is no object at all, which means it's not that light comes and goes and illumines this. Does it move? Therefore, there is no object. You are negating the world. First you negated the I. In negating the I, resolving the I in consciousness, we are negating what? Jiva Ishvara, Jiva Brahma, Aikyam is understood. What am I? Aham Brahma Asmi. I the self am consciousness. I the knower am consciousness. In saying that, you resolve the individuality in the reality, totality, consciousness. It's called Jiva Brahma Aikyam. What about the jagat then? What about the body, mind, sense complex and the external world of objects? There is no jagat. There is no jagat which enjoys existence outside of consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, there is no object at all. There is no object at all means there is no subject, there is no object. Therefore, you can't say the knower and the known. Qualifications are also not there. What is there? Only Brahma. Only Brahman means the secondless non-dual reality. Advitiyam. See, this is what understand the meaning of the word Advitiyam. A secondless reality. Only reality. Therefore, it cannot have any relationship. Sangaha nasti. No, why I am talking all this much now? To make you understand no Sangha. Relationlessness is the nature of reality. Very frightening facts, but bitter, but truth. Relationlessness is the swarupam, nature of the reality. There is no sangaha. Yataha na kramate. Therefore, it does not come, consciousness does not illumine any object. Consciousness is not the illuminator. Therefore, consciousness does not come in contact with anything, something called object at all. Understand? Why? Because there is no object at all. Every object is appearance of, everything here is, which is looked upon as an object is appearance of manifestation of consciousness. Okay? Every object is manifestation of consciousness, appearance of consciousness. There's no object. Therefore, asangam kirtitam. It is of the nature of relationlessness. Got it? I took you step by step. Hope you understood it. It might have been a repeated teaching, repeated thing. I said a lot of things repeatedly, but what you need to understand is I'm explaining that one word, asangam. Got it? Light is of the nature of relationlessness. Light does not come in contact with any opaque object. Contact opaque object through illumination. No. Similarly, consciousness does not know any object here, does not move, does not act, does not associate, come in contact with any object, because every object is its own manifestation, appearance. Every material object is what? Manifestation of consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, consciousness is of the nature of asangaha, asangatvam. Understand? Relationlessness. Sambandha rahitam, sangha rahitam. Jnanam asangam tena kirtitam. It's all Gaudapada Acharya's language. Okay, I'll give you a break now. Please go and come. We will finish the rest of the four in the following session quickly.